rueda de prensa y presentación de la exposición de Richard Leroy, se me oye, ¿verdad? Que hoy tenemos, bueno, pues el placer y el honor de tenerle aquí con nosotros. Y también nos acompaña Sandra Phillips, que es la conservadora emérita de fotografía del MoMA de San Francisco. Y para empezar, yo querría empezar agradeciéndoles a los dos. A Richard por su generosidad y su implicación en todo el proyecto. Y a Sandy también. A ella también, bueno, pues el trabajo y su mirada, ¿no? Conocía muy bien la obra de Leroy y bueno, pues ha sido un trabajo con ella también muy intenso a lo largo de varios años. Y dentro de nuestro equipo, pues también mencionar a Carlos Goyonet, a nuestro conservador de fotografía que ya conocen desde hace muchos años, a Victoria del Val, que es quien ha coordinado esta exposición, y Pedro Benito, que es quien la monta y quien monta, en verdad, todas nuestras exposiciones. Bueno, no sé si habéis tenido ocasión de ver la exposición, alguno a lo mejor, o conocéis su obra, pero la obra de Richard Leroy tiene una presencia muy imponente, la verdad. Cuando nos enfrentamos a ella, vemos que son fotografías tremendamente modernas, que a la vez contrastan con una reminiscencia que nos puede traer a la historia del arte más clásica. Ahora hablaré un poco más de ello, ¿no? Pero a mí también me da la sensación, la impresión de que cuestionan en cierta medida esa autoridad que ha tenido la pintura en la historia del arte mucho tiempo, ¿no? Sus fotografías tienen esa presencia tan, tan potente. Y en este sentido yo querría subrayar sobre todo dos líneas, dos ideas. La primera es precisamente ese carácter o esa modernidad rotunda, en el sentido de, no sé si saben o ya han leído tal vez, que todas sus fotografías están hechas a través de la cámara oscura, ¿no? Y podríamos pensar en cierta medida que precisamente por ello podría tener unos tintes más nostálgicos o más históricos. Y en cambio, cuando las vemos y tienen el catálogo a mano, pero sobre todo cuando las vean en la sala, son obras tremendamente contemporáneas. Y a la vez, como antes decía, sí que nos retrotraen y nos recuerdan, ¿no? A la historia del arte. En el fondo son retratos, la temática son retratos, son naturalezas muertas, son desnudos, hay paisajes. Hay referencias directas, en algunos casos, a maestros, grandes maestros, como Ingres o Chardin. Y esa confrontación entre lo moderno de la imagen y los temas más clásicos sí es muy contundente, ¿no? Y por otro lado, yo también quería compartir, ¿no? Una sensación que a mí me queda cuando veo esta exposición, que he de decir que para mí es una de las más singulares que hemos presentado en Fundación MAFRE. Y es que el artista invita, o parece que nos invita, a saborear con la mirada, la contemplación. Sus fotografías nos llaman a recorrerlas. La mayoría son gran formato, sobre todo lo que hemos traído son 45 obras, obras únicas, ¿no? Al venir de Cámara Oscura, y sobre todo nos invitan a recorrerlas y a saborearlo, a encontrarnos con los detalles, a encontrarnos con el foco donde está, y ahí están llenas de detalles, ¿no? Y hay que recorrerlas y saborearlo. Otro aspecto que querría compartir y que también en alguna otra rueda de prensa lo hemos dicho, en este caso la Fundación invitamos a Richard, a, le planteamos y le invitamos a hacer un proyecto en España. Y él le interesó, le apeteció y estuvo en Lanzarote e hizo una serie de retratos y aquí presentamos una imagen de un volcán, es espectacular, la verdad, que bueno, pues forma parte de nuestra colección. Nuestra colección crece y desde el principio del proyecto de fundación crece de forma paralela. Siempre trabajamos con la programación, por un lado Carlos la plantea desde pues con muchos años de antelación y luego intentamos que muchos de esos artistas estén presentes, ¿no? Y una forma de enriquecerla es esta que encontramos invitando a artistas a trabajar en nuestro país. Ya por último, ya dejo a Richard y a Sandra Phillips explicar mucho mejor el proyecto y su obra. Quiero también señalar el catálogo, que bueno, tiene un ensayo de Sandra Phillips muy, muy cuidado y también otro texto más sorprendente de Jefter. Creo que trasluce, su obra trasluce esa presencia de las fotografías, pero sin duda yo creo que, y espero, que anime a verlas, porque su obra requiere esa confrontación y ese enfrentamiento, hay que verlas, ¿no? en persona. Y nada más, yo ya les dejo con Sandra Phillips, muchas gracias.
Oh, sorry. it's a great pleasure to be introducing the work of Richard Learoyd, who is a really unique photographer and a wonderful, wonderfully inventive person. I want to stress the uniqueness of his vision. When you look at the work, it seems at first that it looks like large, normal photographs. But it's a very special form of photography that he's developed. These are, for the most part, absolutely unique. They're large, and they are made without a negative. In other words, they are direct positives. They are made by inserting a large piece of film, of paper actually, into the back of his particularly personally made camera, and focusing, after focusing on the subject, making a picture that is unique. So they're quite like painting in that they're absolutely unique. I think the reason that they have this power and the special psychological in greatness, really, is because of their personal, their feeling of personal responsiveness to the subject at hand. There's a sense that the photographer is there in more than a normal photograph. So they are single pictures made witnessing the scene that you see in front of you. And it's usually either a still life or a person. So let me talk about these three subjects: the still life, the person, and then the more recent work that's in black and white. The first pictures are either still lives, Or they're people, they're portraits, or they're nudes. These are very classical subjects for painting. The pictures of the people are wonderfully both traditionally responsive in an artistic way, but they're also very psychological. They're very modern. They're very contemporary. So they recall the traditional forms of painting, the nude, the portrait, but they are uncommonly modern by their psychological acuteness. You see not only portraits of women, of course, you see different kinds of women. You see beautiful young women and you see older people. You see people who are large and you see people who are young and beautiful. And you also see men, which is quite unusual, not so much as clothed figures, but also as nudes. So these are stretching the current form, the accepted form of academic art. You also see pictures of that are still lifes. And instead of showing them as a vase of flowers that are what one would consider normal, you see a branch of an apple tree with some of the apples eaten or a little bit molested by insects. Or you see a kind of still life of animals that are no longer alive. An arrangement of birds or eels or an octopus that's hanging strangely and beautifully from above so that it collapses and looks like a wonderfully new figurative object. I'd also like to talk about the color and the light of these pictures, which are beautiful, muted, and still. You have a sense that the light is falling on these objects so that we can actually see them better, so that we look at them longer, so that we examine them closer. So there's a kind of deliberateness, of pause, of noticing that's very special to this work, that's quite unique. And then I'd like to talk a little bit about the more recent work, which is not in color, which is in black and white, and where he's now been able to go outside, which is very challenging, but also very rewarding. And the subjects he chooses are landscapes or cityscapes or in some cases also people. But they are also not so much beautiful land as places where we look for something, where we're seeing something that's maybe mysterious or challenging, but also kind of ordinary, so that we have to look harder and longer. He starts with pictures that are traditional English landscapes, places where somebody like John Constable, the famous English landscape painter, went, scenes that he admired and that he went to again and again to examine the light and the freshness and the intimacy of English land. But we also see, as we see in the work of his colored figure pictures, we also see an interest in finding something that you cannot actually specify, something unusual, something strange, something mysterious, that that's hard to see, but is obviously there. There's a picture of an ordinary street corner in Poland, and then you wonder, why is it that he's photographed it? And it turns out to be a place of great sorrow, actually. Or you look at a picture of a bowl full of fishnets, and you wonder, why is that put together like that? And why did he make that picture? In some cases, the subject is, the real subject is alluded to by his wonderfully poetic titles, mysterious titles, or curious titles, titles that we don't quite understand and provoke us to look more deeply and more openly. So I would like to just say that this work, which may seem straightforward and classical, is full of mystery and poetry, and this is the kind of work that will encourage us to look at again and again, to find out what is there, like any great art, to look at it for our pleasure and for our human interest. And I'm delighted to be working on this, to present this in Spain, as well as other parts of Europe, to make sure that this work has the real audience, the serious audience that it deserves. Thank you.
Richard.
Oh, me. Hi. I've been listening to what people have been saying, and it feels very removed from the way that I think. I listen to the things that Sandy and Nadia have said, and it seems very all the ideas seem very important and large and significant. When in reality, the best way, I think, to look at any exhibition of artwork, be it painting or photographs, is to walk around and see the struggle that somebody's having with the things that they're trying to make. You know, if I walk around a show of drawings or paintings, any artwork, I like to see the little internal wars that the person's having with themselves, the struggle with the paint or the pencil, the manipulation of the clay or the metal or whatever it is. I can walk through exhibitions quicker than anybody that I know. I'm very, very quick. In the immortal words of somebody recently, I have impeccable taste because I like nothing. All I see is the struggle. I like to see the struggle. I try and identify artwork by empathizing with the process of it being made. And when you walk, I hope you do go and see the show. It's only over the road, and I know you guys are all really busy, but if you do go, a way into that exhibition that maybe is helpful is the people are all people I know or I've met through the desire to photograph things. The places are all places that I've been 1,000 times. and looked at and thought maybe I could make a photograph there. You know, there's a picture of a zoo. And it's because I have small children. And I would, you know, I joined the zoo to because it was a place to take kids. And I walked, I was looking all the time for something. And I saw this thing. I said, I must go and photograph it. And everything's like that, you know, in this show. It's very, to me, it's all very personal. You know, the reason why there's lots of pictures of fish and seafood items is because I cycle to work, and I used to live on a route that passed a fish market. And the pictures of the apple branches are when I moved to a different house where there were apple trees. The people that I'm watching grow older, and you know, one of the ideas in the series of photos, I like to photograph people over a number of years, and I like to maintain those relationships. So I think there's, you know, a 10-year gap in some of the pictures of the same people. I like to see the changes in people, and then I look at myself in the mirror and think, I look the same. You know, I've not changed like they have. I'm the same. But I always, when I meet people and I'm going to photograph, you know, I'm always looking for people to, everyone thinks that I'm, you know, I stick with the same people. I'm always looking for people to photograph. And sometimes I've even taken to reaching out on social media, which I don't do, which is very unusual for me. You know, I put a little sign up and held it up and said, I'm looking for people to photograph, email, and with an email. And I got the strangest results. I got the strangest, wonderful results of people that, like, you know, had seen the photographs and liked the work. And, you know, there were guys with, you know, there was a lot of very odd people, and it was, but it was wonderful that people were interested enough to respond. But I am always looking. And I think the thing for me is I've had a life in photography. I'm 54 years old or whatever I am now, 53 maybe. And I started being interested in photography when I was 14, 15. I've had all these years of trying to make sense of a medium that's actually very simple. You know, it's, you know, you stand in front of something and you take its picture. And for me, the fascination has always been what's worth doing. You know, what is worth photographing? Because I've, you know, ever from the very beginning, I was interested in photography in the context of a wall object, of an artwork, rather than a sort of snapshot picture of children playing, which I also make like everybody else. But I'm very interested in the ability of photographs to hold their own and to actually, if possible, dominate a room full of other artworks of sculpture and painting. There's something very immediate about photography and very familiar that people are drawn to. And I've always believed that photography can occupy a space on a wall within a broader context of, you know, fine art activity. You know, I that's my particular interest. So I've been searching all those years and struggle every day with what's worth doing, what is worth presenting, what is a sense of what can I communicate other than, you know, how can I convert the general to the universal, if you like? How can you make a single idea and a single person's vision communicate to a wider audience? And, you know, the things that Sandy was talking about, the portrait, the still life, and the landscape, I don't know what other sort of photographs there are. Everyone says, oh, you're a genre photographer. You know, you do portraits, still lives. And what else is that? I don't really know. I suppose there's street photography, but that's sort of portraiture a lot of the time on half landscape. I don't really know what there is. You know, but I make things difficult for myself with the process by using these ridiculously huge cameras and all these other things. But I think that's sometimes it's like it's like, as I was saying, what's worth doing? I think that a lot of photography today with digital cameras is very much about editing. You know, I'm going to photograph one of you, and I'm like this, click, 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 click. You know, sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're sad, and then you make a decision about what picture looks best, and you can pull a little bit of this one and a little bit of that one. And the way that I work is it's a lot slower. So, you know, I'll make a photograph in the studio, and it's immediate. I make an exposure. I'll push it to a processing machine, and the picture's on the wall 15 minutes later. And I'll look at it, and I'll say, maybe we could turn your head this way, or maybe we could drop your chin, maybe we could move your hands. So the pictures are all very constructed. But it is a decision-making process rather than an editing process. You know, I'm moving from one place to another place rather than trying to move in one burst of exposures. And I think that's maybe a little different, and that's maybe that maybe comes across in the photographs a little bit. What's worth remembering also is that when you stand in front of a photograph in a gallery context, in a museum context, in whatever, you know, if it feels a little different, it's a mile, because there's so many photographs. A tiny difference is a huge difference. And there's something about using large cameras where there's no grain, where there's different qualities of sharpness, and the pictures operate on multiple viewing distances, which opens up that little gap about it's something that you haven't quite seen before. And that's what changes the game. But when you do walk around, see me struggling, because that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to through this life in photography, trying to engage the people who stand in front of the pictures. I want to make things that people want to look at. So I hope you do. Any questions?